My name is Nuran Idris. I'm a business analyst working in Tanzania on the ELMIS. And my colleague here is...
I'm Wendy Bomet, and the project manager for the same project.
Okay, so today we'll be... I think you should go on this side. So today we'll be presenting to you how Tanzania and Zambia have collaborated to address one of the biggest supply chain challenges that are being faced in both of these countries, which is timely availability of logistics data for decision making. So we'll be talking to you about what we are trying to do in moving from a manual system to a computerized system of collecting and reporting key logistics data that is being used by the ministries of health for decision making. So we do not have any relationships to disclose. So in our presentation, we have categorized it into four core parts. First, we'll tell you about why we thought of having the ELMIS. And the ELMIS is the Electronic Logistics Management Information System. And then we'll tell you how we crafted the solution, and then how we developed and are still developing the solution. And lastly, we'll take you through the impact and the lessons learned. So perhaps to give you a little bit of a background on Tanzania, the Ministry of Health in Tanzania operates a minimum of four vertical programs. What do we mean? Here, it means that each of these vertical programs has a specific mechanism for enabling facilities to reorder supplies. So that means that maybe at the beginning of the month, health personnel in Tanzania will be filling a form to reorder their supplies for maybe HIV/AIDS commodities. Maybe the next month they'll be filling a separate form to reorder TB commodities. And then this also applies, so you can multiply that by four. So, and then Tanzania is a very big country. It operates more than 6,000 facilities, and this number is still increasing. So you can imagine how a manual system operating in 6,000 facilities looks like. And I think it's also important to mention that the distribution is managed by a medical stores department, which has a central hub located in the heart of Tanzania, which is Dar es Salaam. And this medical stores department has about 9 hubs which are strategically placed in different parts of the country to enable the distribution of medical supplies.
Thank you, Nuran. So Nuran is based in the Tanzania office, and I'm based in the Zambia office. We also in Zambia have four vertical programs, which is the HIV test kits, ARVs, essential medicines, and lab commodities. We receive requisitions and reports from the service delivery points, so the facilities, every month. Unlike Tanzania, who do it quarterly, we do this monthly. So the resupply is done monthly. There are approximately 2,000 facilities in Zambia and growing. And like Tanzania, we also have one big hub, which is a central medical stores, and that's where all the orders are supplied to the facilities from.
Okay, so some of the challenges that are being faced, and we're working as the ministers of health in Tanzania and Zambia agreed to work together on this one because of the similar challenges that are being faced. So, for example, in Tanzania, even though it's a quarterly system, every month the medical stores department receives more than 2,000 paper-based orders every month in order to resupply facilities. So you can imagine the medical stores department being a distribution company, they're really only concerned with what the facility needs. But there's other critical logistics data that is being reported by the facilities. For example, how much they have, what are the losses and adjustments, what are the consumption trends. So there was not really any mechanism to make sure that this data was being collected and aggregated to inform the decision making at the ministerial level or even for the other partners that are working with the ministries of health. And as a result of this, there are a number of stockouts. So you might go to one facility and you find that they have stock out of a certain item, which is the same item is overstocked in a facility that is just maybe a few miles from there. And it's happening because really nobody is able to know exactly how much a facility has, and as a result of the we're facing those challenges. So as you can see here from the picture, everything is really manual, and so this is the picture here is reflecting it's a picture of the paper of the paper-based system that are being used to by facilities to order, and So most of the processes are manual, and then also since it's very manual, there's also a great chance for arithmetic validation. So maybe to just give you a brief background on the ordering process. Usually, in order to enable a facility to know how much they're supposed to order, there's a certain mathematic that they have to do. So they have to look at maybe how much they have, how much they consumed, and then they'll be able to know how much they order. So if everything is manual, the chances of having errors is also very big. And then also due to the transportation challenges that are being faced, actually this is something that's happening both in Tanzania and Zambia. There are times that there's just so much rain, and then the roads, nobody can cross them. And so the reports are delayed, and as a result, then the facilities are not resupplied. So it's just like there's no so many other challenges that are unfolding as a result of these issues. In order to address some of these challenges, we thought of having the Ministry of Health in both the countries thought of having an ELMIS. And just a summary of what things that we wanted that ELMIS to do is, one, we wanted to have a big data warehouse where all of the facilities can be able to order their supplies from the very different vertical programs that are existing into one system. And then this one system will be able to analyze this data generate ad hoc reports that will be used by the Ministry of Health and its implementing partners for decision making. Furthermore, since logistics is at the core of the supply chain, and there are other systems that are also implemented upstream and downstream, our colleague Noella here will talk about one of those systems. We wanted to make sure that whatever system we were developing was able to interface with other logistics systems that were being implemented. So, for example, in Tanzania we have the medical stores department. In Zambia, we have the Medical Stores Limited, and each one of these have their own warehouse management systems that are being used in managing their supplies. So whatever system that we developed, we wanted to make sure that the interface would be smooth. So for example, a facility fills in the information, they would click send, and then automatically the information will go to the warehouse management system for order processing and also for resupplying. And then ultimately we expect that the ELMIS would be able to improve availability of health commodities at the service delivery points.
Thank you. So, based on the challenges that Nuran has just spoken about, some of the things that we're thinking about when we're actually designing the system is to alleviate those challenges. We need a system that's going to be able to give us GIS, which is the first part on the other side. So for GIS, Nuran just explained, you could be in a facility, and 5 minutes away from you is another facility. You are stocked out of a commodity. The other facility is overstocked of the same commodity. And there's no way to immediately see that. And using GIS, you could be able to immediately just visually, and most people are very visual, see that, oh, okay, well, I can go borrow this same commodity from a facility that's close to me versus reports that you would have to really try and analyze to figure out that this facility is actually close to each other. So this is really helpful, and we are incorporating this into the ELMIS. The other is the ELMIS, we hope, can make the warehouse orders and shipments much easier. Nuran explained earlier, they have over 6,000 facilities. In Zambia, we have over 2,000 facilities. And each facility has a minimum of 2 vertical programs or 4. So when you do the math, you're at least at the central level, they're every month processing over 8,000 manual orders. So the idea was this ELMIS should have some business intelligence to say, okay, well, these 4 different orders are coming from one facility. So let me merge these 4 orders into one order so that it creates just one pick list at the warehouse. So that's what some of the features of the ELMIS. The other is SMS messaging. So we currently have a situation where facilities don't have, or the district levels, they don't have vehicles or anything to be able to collect their supplies. So you'll find, you know, this little nurse or health worker working maybe 5 kilometers or riding bicycle from their health center to the district, getting there and they're told, oh, sorry, the truck hasn't arrived, your drugs are not here. And they'll, you know, come back a week later. And so the idea is that by having the SMS text messaging, a lot of people have mobile phones now in developing countries, they could be able to get a text message, say, oh, your order has actually, your requisition has arrived at the warehouse. Now your requisition has been converted into an order. Your order has been picked. Your order is at the district. You can go pick it up. And so they're actually going there when they know they have an order to come and pick up, or their, you know, their drugs are ready for them to pick up, versus just going there and hoping they'll get there at one point or the other. The other thing is the fax, the optical, the OCR, optical character recognition. So Niren mentioned earlier, there are so many challenges with just reading. When you see these manual forms come up to the central level, it's there. God bless the people who actually do the data entry, because it is so hard to understand and, you know, really make out what the writing is for most of these people. So we're hoping that to reduce the data entry burden, we can at least scan the manual forms, because it is clear that not all facilities will be able to have an electronic system. So there will still be manual forms coming and manual requisitions coming in. And hopefully they can at least just, you know, we're trying to test that OHR, not necessarily the OCR, but the optical handwritten recognition, and see if it can pick those characters and make it much easier for the data entry guys to just enter that data. The other is the system is web-based, and so anywhere in the country where, as long as you have access to the system, it's now very visible, it's very transparent. Before, you know, if Ministry of Health official or somebody who has to do anything with quantification and forecasting needs information, they have to call somebody, they have to call us or call, you know, the warehouse, can you get me this data? But now you can log on to the system from wherever you are, and you can immediately get status on, you know, stock status from each of the facility levels. You can get stock status from the central level and so on and so forth. The other on the left is the stakeholder accessibility, and that's just what I was talking about. They can now access this information anytime, almost in real time. Then reporting dashboard. One of the things that we really were hoping to do with the reporting dashboard is that, you know, we have this whole thing where there is no report, no program, no product. So if you don't send a report, you're not going to get your commodities at the end of the month. And that has actually really increased the reporting percentages. But we want to make this better. So by being able to, when you log on, immediately see when your reports are due, immediately see what products are almost expiring, we hope that this can actually make it easier for the health worker. The last thing, which is really important, is the backward scanner. So we were trying to make work easy for the people actually doing this work, and they constantly complain of the reporting burden. So you'll hear of a small health post or a health center where it's the nurse who's, you know, actually the pharmacist, the nurse is, you know, help treating a patient. The same nurse is supposed to work in the storeroom and do the orders. So they have, and not only are they supposed to do one order, oh, well, I have Ministry of Health requesting for this, I have donors requesting for this. So they have a lot of challenges. And so the whole idea is this system is not supposed to come back, add more work for them. It should make it easier for them to report. So as a truck comes in or as commodities come into their little storeroom, they should be able to just scan those commodities, and that information, once cradled, should go straight to the central data repository. As they're actually issuing commodities out to a patient and, you know, at the dispensing window, they should also be able to scan that information. So that's what we hope the ELMIS can achieve, and we're testing it. It's in pilot right now.
Okay, so we'll just tell you a little bit more about how we got to where we are right now. So when the Minister of Health, when the Ministries of Health first wanted, decided that they wanted an ELMIS, they wanted their lives to be easier, we didn't just wake up and say, okay, we're going to start having an ELMIS. First, we did a needs assessment to identify exactly what was the gap and how big was the gap, if any. And as a result of that, we found that there was a gap, and so we used, we then had to defined the the requirements of the system that was that we're looking for. And in order to help us in designing the system, we use the CRDM, which is the Collaborative Requirements Development Methodology, and I think it's a very global, it's used globally, and so this was applied in Tanzania and Zambia and a number of other countries just to identify what we would want this ELMIS to do for us. And then after knowing exactly what we wanted, then we had to scan the world, see exactly if there's any other system that are existing that are doing what we wanted it to do. So we looked at the VRMIS, which is used in Mozambique for managing their vaccines. We looked at the Pakistan LMIS, and then also we looked at a system in Ethiopia. And then really, after looking at all of this, we didn't really find something that was that fit the description that we had. And so as a result, we just then decided that we wanted to have a system. And so the ELMIS, as we were putting it, is an open source technology because we wanted something that is easy to maintain but also easy to build up on. And so the system development methodology that we were using was a phased approach, meaning that after we decided what exactly we wanted, then we the developer were using an iterative methodology, meaning that they would develop a certain component of the system and then put it out, test it, and then develop further components. So this one enables us. So to be able to make sure that whatever is being developed is really what the country will need, as compared to having the developers develop a system and then bring it out there, and then later on you decide that, oh no, this is doing this and I want it to do that. So that's really that has been useful, and actually the development is still ongoing. Although we are currently in the process of rolling out the system, we are rolling out only a part of the system, and then we still have room to build up on more functionality based on the issues that we are still seeing. And approximately, the process lasted for about a year and a half. It takes about a year and a half. Although in Tanzania, it took us almost 3 years in order to get to where we are right now. So just to tell you a little bit more about the ELMIS in terms of what it does. One, we have the electronic approval that Wendy talked about earlier on. So a district pharmacist who is one of the core person that is approving the orders does not need to be in their office in order to approve. They just log into the system after receiving the notification through an SMS or an email. Just log into the system, do the approval, and then the order, the R&R flows, the report and requisition form flows to the next level. And then also at the ministerial level, at the ministerial level, the implementing partners, they're able to see the reports as soon as the data has been entered into the system. So now they do not have to wait 3 or 4 months later after the data has been reported in order to access the data. So as soon as it's reported, they're able to log into the system and see the various logistics report. And then also I think one of the greatest features of the ELMIS is that there is this arithmetic validation, that meaning that at the time of capture, so if you just look at this example here, you'll notice that this user was trying to capture some R&R information into the ELMIS, but since the numbers were not adding up, there was an error automatically telling them that you need to fix your errors. And then also, the ELMIS also reduces the number of picks in the warehouse, so it makes their lives, the work of the people who are working in the medical stores department and the medical stores limited very easier in that they just refer to one of the printouts from the ELMIS.
Okay, thank you. I think our time is almost up. So in the next minute and a half, I'll just quickly tell you some of the successes that we've had. So as she mentioned before, it's improved data visibility. And one of the biggest things has reduced the order processing lead time. So right now with the ELMIS, the lead time has gone from months or days into just almost instantaneous. Then reducing the reporting burden at the facility level. And another really good thing about the system is the code base, because she mentioned it's it's open source and wanted to go open source for a very big reason. That's sustainability. Most governments are not able to pay the $1 million or, you know, $2 million and, or, you know, licensing fees for X number of facilities. So we wanted something that's going to be able to be sustained by these governments. And we developed something that other countries can come in and just customize to themselves and go run with it. Some of the lessons learned were in resource-limited settings. It is really important to have a robust and expandable system. We also wanted to make sure that we let all of you who are interested in doing this know that the host government buy-in is really critical. If the government doesn't buy in, there's nowhere you're really going to go with developing a system. And really, lastly, is just when a large area of stakeholders, and I don't know if Nuran mentioned, there's been a lot of people who have been working with this, from the Rockefeller Foundation, USAID, the Ministries of Health, and PATH, Gates Foundation, everybody's put in money for this system, and there are a lot of people who we have to communicate with. So communication is really key. So lastly, please, if you have any questions or you'd like to contact us for further details, these are our contacts. Thank you.